This week, it was British star Hugh Grant testifying about having his phone hacked by the British tabloid News of the World. Journalists make a big mistake when they hack phones, not just because it's unethical, but because it can undercut the very best reporting. Consider the Cincinnati Inquirer, which 13 years ago conducted a massive probe into the practices of the Cincinnati-based global corporation Chiquita Brands International. After investing a lot of time and money in the project, the Inquirer published a scathing exposé of Chiquita's malpractices, including lawbreaking in four countries, bribery, endangering workers, and bulldozing villages. But then it became known that Inquirer reporter Mike Gallagher had broken into Chiquita's voicemail system. The Inquirer fired Gallagher, relocated his editor, agreed to pay Chiquita millions of dollars, apologized repeatedly, and recanted the stories. As the British phone hacking scandal drags on, it's worth recalling that in 1998, the Chiquita case was fast, some might say furiously, settled. As for the reaction to Chiquita's wide-ranging illegalities and corruption, mostly there wasn't any. Ethicist Kelly McBride of the Poynter Institute has used the Cincinnati Inquirer saga in classes as an object lesson.
The lesson is when your methods for gathering information are dishonest, the information you gather is suspect. And that case is the perfect lesson in that no one has challenged the findings of the newspaper, yet nobody talks about that as a great investigative piece. They talk about it as an ethical scandal.
But isn't that because the Inquirer renounced its year-long investigation? Did the Inquirer have to do that?
I think they had to do it to avoid further financial damage. They were being sued. We don't know exactly what Chiquita was seeking, but at a certain point, the Inquirer had to cut its losses, and its losses were in the millions. So that's the point at which great journalism gets lost.
But it seemed that the Cincinnati Inquirer had a higher obligation to stand by the story that exposed the unsavory business practices of a leading corporate citizen.
The problem is if someone has a legal knife to your throat, you forego your paper's ability to ever do that again if you can't get out from that civil liability. And it's not, I mean, estimates are that they had to pay somewhere between $10 and $50 million to Chiquita. I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not defending the retraction as much as I am
condemning the practice of voicemail hacking.
Exactly. There are so many times when you're tempted to do something that's slightly illegal. Somebody leaves the office when you're interviewing them and their computer screen's open, or somebody gives you a password or tells you how to get to information. And it seems so innocuous when you're gathering thousands and thousands of small pieces of information. But in fact, it can undermine every ounce of credibility that you have.
But when you consider the stakes, Chiquita, at the time that this story was being produced, was paying protection money to death squads in Colombia. These death squads were later designated terrorist groups by the U.S., and Chiquita was ultimately forced to pay $25 million in government fines. Here's what strikes me as really ironic. They had three choices. They could not pay the protection money and see their employees murdered. They could pay the protection money, or they could pack up and move out of Colombia and lose an incredibly rich market. They chose to pay the protection money. It strikes me that this is a kind of an analogy for what the Cincinnati Inquirer did. It paid protection money to Chiquita so that it could continue to operate in Cincinnati, but at the cost of protecting a corporation that was doing genuine harm and causing lives to be lost abroad.
Perhaps. But if you look at all the other reporting that the Inquirer does in Cincinnati, covering the schools, covering government, enabling democracy to happen, one story versus thousands of stories, because the Cincinnati Inquirer doesn't have the option of leaving Cincinnati.
What about the option of firing Gallagher, admitting his wrongdoing?
Well, I think that had they done that before they published, they would have been in a fairly solid position with both the public and the courts. One of the things about journalism is if you explain things ahead of time, you are in so much of a better position with the audience because you don't come off as defensive or guilty even. They didn't do that before they published. The Inquirer didn't know that thousands of times one of their reporters had listened to personal voicemails of an executive and were then up against a wall and didn't have a lot of options.
So maybe there's the object lesson. People will go astray. But if you're transparent at the beginning with that process, then the reporting will still stand.
Sure. The cliche is to ask forgiveness rather than permission. But in fact, in journalism, if you explain ahead of time to your audience what you did to get the information, the audience generally will back you up.
Kelly, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Journalism ethicist Kelly McBride works at the Poynter Institute.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.